Reformed Church.
And I said, you know what, Lord? I said, you want me to share it? Then make the opportunity, and there you have it. So I was just thinking quite a bit. I was just praying a couple nights ago, and while I was praying, I just started thinking about there being a difference. And, you know, a difference meaning, you know, there are lots of people that believe a lot of wrong things, a lot of wrong doctrine. The world, in some respects, right, sees religion, especially Christianity or different sects of Christianity, along the same lines. But the thing that I was telling the Lord is, you know, there is, there has to be, even as more as the coming of the Lord draws nearer and nearer, just a bigger and more marked difference between those that worship and believe the one true God and people that don't. And that it should be apparent, you know. And then I started thinking quite a bit about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You know, I mean, the way that he did, the way that he said it, the confidence that he demonstrated because of his faith in the Lord is just an awesome thing for us to, you know, endeavor in our faith in the Lord to be able to walk in the same confidence in the Lord. In other words, because obviously this is not that he was brave and outgoing. It's just the confidence that he had in the Lord, the fact that he just was not, and obviously not in every area of his life, because he. It's so interesting. He goes from one extreme to the next almost, maybe we do sometimes. But, you know, he goes from this awesome demonstration of confidence in the Lord, and then Jezebel says something to him, and then he goes away almost like a puppy dog with his tail between his legs. So, you know, I mean, it just things, you know, that because of our thinking is not right. But you definitely see, you know, when he goes right up to a king, right? I mean, not like he was just going up to any person. He was going up to the king. And he went right up to King Ahab and just told him, you know, the Lord said, show yourself to him, you know, and I'll send rain. And obviously there had been a famine in the land for quite some time. And that obviously it's a proven thing that it hadn't rained in God knows how long. And yet he went up and he did that. Then the next piece that you see is that not only the confidence that he had in himself, but also the way people perceived him, right? The way even other Christians, if you will, right? Other maybe brothers in the faith perceived him when Obadiah, who was also a believer, says like, no, I'm not going to go tell the king that you're here, because if I go tell the king that you're here, by the time I get back, the Spirit of the Lord is going to carry you away and leave you and take you out of here. In other words, like he is just... assuming, because he knows Elijah, that the Lord is definitely going to protect him, and the Lord is just going to do whatever is good on Elijah's behalf, on the prophet's behalf. And then you know, there are so many things that you see throughout that account that just really show, you know, in verse number 15 of 1 Kings 18, he says, and Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. So he was just confirming to Obadiah that he would definitely be there. Like when he came, he would be there. But it's not just that he said that. It's the one that he said he stood before. You know, before the God in whom I stand. In other words, to him, his word, his actions, right? Obviously not all his actions, but many of his actions were just, you know, because of the Lord, because of the faith I have, and because of the confidence with which, you know, I know the Lord is with me. The Lord is doing this thing, right? In verse number 19, he says, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel to Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the grove. You know, it's funny because it is normally quoted that it was 450 prophets, but actually from the reading, it looks like it was 850 prophets, because it was 450 prophets. It says the prophets of Baal, and then he says, and the prophets of the grove, which is of the goddess Asherah, I think is how you pronounce it, another 400. But anyway, he just calls a multitude of people, you know, just such confidence in the Lord and knowing that the Lord is working through him, that the Lord is going to exalt and glorify his own name, right? Without Elijah feeling that he has to do it for God, but that the confidence to know that God is going to work it through him. He calls such a multitude, and you guys know the story, right? I mean, it's not just that he compared, you know, like apples to apples, your bull on dry wood to my bull with dry wood. He takes buckets and buckets of water, drenches the sacrifice, drenches the wood, and then not just that, but then dug a trench around the altar so that no water that fell could just escape, but the water itself could pool underneath so that everyone would know that when God sent fire down, it's going to consume it all. It's just such a cool thing. And I just, you know, I started to recall just in thinking about all this. And I was just telling the Lord that he would continually use this church, and even more so, obviously. I mean, it just seems like we're like babies, like we're just beginning, but obviously not in our knowledge of the Lord at all, but just in what the Lord desires to do with us in the last days, that the Lord would use us in order to mark the difference, right? So that people can see there is a difference, right? Between people that believe in the Lord. In other words, that people would be able to see that there is a difference, and then they'll listen to what you're saying, listen to what the church is preaching, listen to the people of this church, right? And that they would know, like, oh, wow, you go to that church. Like, oh, I should hear what you're saying, right? Because there's something to listen to there. One of the just last examples here I'll tell you is a lot of these things were equating back to me to the same principle. In Hebrews chapter 11, he says, you know, since therefore we have such a huge crowd of witnesses, right? He says, let us lay aside the weight and the sin, right? But you know, wouldn't it be so cool to be able to be pointed to as people that can show what living by faith in Jesus is, right? That in other words, that people would say, you know what, living by faith, like, look at these cloud of witnesses to living according to faith in Christ, right? Like, that's what we ought to be doing. We should be living by faith like they're living by faith, you know? Not trying to copy what you do from a mannerism and from a systemic methodological perspective, right? But being able to look at just your faith in the Lord and say, you know what, I should aim to have faith like that in the Lord. And I know there's last thing I'll read to you, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, for my people have committed two evils, and I think I actually read this to you last service. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The Lord has to be able to bring a marked difference, right, in the days that we're living in, so that they can tell the difference between someone that proclaims that they have the fountain of living water on the inside of them versus somebody that's just, quote unquote, living a holy life by themselves, you know, and wears the garb and looks like a I don't know what, right? Whatever. That's not the point. But that looks the part, but yet there's no water there. There's no life in them. The fountain of living waters doesn't live in them, right? There either, and it could be, to let you know also, people even that have the fountain of living water living in them, right, have the Spirit of God living in them, but yet don't acknowledge the fountain of living water in them, that they would be able to see what it looks like to not just have a fountain of living water, but letting it become a river out of you, right? And that they would look and say, you know what, I got the same river. Wonder if I should let the same manifestation come into my life. And again, just that they would look at what is the faith that you're talking about? What is the difference in the message? And then they would listen and then find what that difference is, you know. To me, I just count it such an important thing. It seems to be a very recurring thing lately in my thinking. But you know, the things that the Lord wants to do. I was listening to a really old message that Pastor Mike preached a while back. And it was funny, like you could hear the youth in his voice, like it was a while back. But it was so cool because one of the things that he said that I disagree with, you know, I didn't want to just say it like it was me that thought it, even though that doesn't matter. If it's from the Lord, it's from the Lord anyway. But just to give credit where it's due, that, you know, what he had said was that we shouldn't grow weary in well-doing, right? Like growing weary should be left up to people that are suffering, right? And they're weary and they're suffering. But like if you're doing good, like why would you grow weary in doing good? And I think it just comes, just, you know, a thought of mine is just, I think sometimes that could come because your eyes, right, when you're led by your eyeballs and then your eyes aren't matching up with what you're believing, you can get tired because of what your eyes are not seeing, right? But again, just to encourage you in, you know, keep, when the Lord says, you know, it's just such an awesome thing for him to say that in Jeremiah 2, for him to say that about himself. He said, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, right? Like it's such an awesome thing to be able to acknowledge him in the way he wants to be acknowledged, right? He's saying to us, right, I am the fountain of living water on the inside of you. Acknowledge me and I'll become a river, right? I'll overflow from you. And you know that the intent of God was not to be a pool in us, like we were preaching, you know, last service, not to become a pool or a well, but the intent was for us to draw out, right? The intent was for it to spring out. It was never intended just to kind of be there stagnant. So, you know, I would just, you know, I'd encourage you to hope that it would kind of drive you to kind of pray along the same lines, to say, you know what, Lord, I don't want days to go by and I'm living and working the same way that everybody else works and lives, right? Lord, I want to work with you working, with you doing, with you showing, right? I want to work with you showing that greater are you that are in me, right? Greater are you in me than any spirit that's in this world, so that there can be a difference between the spirit of God and the spirit in the world. There should be a marked difference. Like, people that don't even know God should be able to tell the difference. That guy right there walks in the spirit of God, that guy right there doesn't. Like, they can see you and know, right? Not a holiness thing in the respect like the world sees it. Like, oh yeah, he doesn't want to hang out with us because he's too good with us. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that they would look at you and know, yeah, there's a difference there with him. There's a difference there with her, right? And that people would want, not all people, but that some people would want to know, hey, like, what is different about you? Or I know what's different about you. You know, can I talk to you for a little bit, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.